This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premiere Lucha Underground after show. My name is Max, and...
Oh, me? My name is Travis.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 21.
Here we go. Yeah. What was the name of this one again?
I don't know.
Man, it used to be...
All Night Long Again.
That was the last one, was All Night Long Again. Sudden Death.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
We got some sick new sound drops.
Yep.
From Dario's epic speech when he was explaining
we'll get
the tournament.
That great promo.
I'm just going to bust one out right now.
Sure.
This is Cigar Zeus.
I'm not sure how we'll use that, but...
Yeah, we'll find a way.
news and notes? I mean, I have none.
Yeah, me neither.
I have none.
Me neither. It seemed to get... I heard, like, mostly from that first episode, really good feedback from a variety of sources.
Oh, really?
About our
podcast?
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously. No. Really good feedback about how good the episode was.
Yeah. I was super impressed.
Yeah, we all were.
And I was equally impressed with this week's episode.
Me too.
It was a great
ep. Yeah. As I said, there's sometimes in the past when things just aren't all clicking and it just feels like a slog. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word? Am I using that right? Slog?
Yeah, sure.
To get through it. But so far, these first two, they've gone by like bang, bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
Snapping my fingers.
Lucha Libre Genius.
Yeah, that's what they are.
That's right. News and notes. You know what? One thing we should maybe talk about is Phoenix and Pentagon... Pentagon,
and then now it's like Pentagon El Zero Sierra Miedo. Like he has a whole long
It's something. So he left AAA during the
hiatus,
the off season.
Yeah,
and so he might not be back for season four. Same thing with Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. It's everything's all kind of third hand, and nobody really knows what's going on with this promotion. But I think a lot of it depends on Vampiro and his relationship with some of these wrestlers. So I think, I think them cutting ties with AAA doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to lose all of these AAA wrestlers.
Yeah.
I think it's now more, they're still acting as independent contractors, right?
It'll be interesting to see. Especially because, the guy who... The owner of AAA is now, in a producer role at Lucha Underground. So, I'm sure there's some bad blood.
Maybe. Or maybe this was, we don't know.
I guess we don't. We'll just see if these final episodes take a weird turn.
Yeah.
As we get to Ultima Lucha Trace. If suddenly, Pentagon is killed off. Phoenix is killed off.
Dead. They're all dead.
And it's Aerostar.
You know any upcoming spoilers?
I know nothing.
Yeah, good.
Well, I know one thing based on an episode title, and that's why I always
tell people not to watch
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I had heard something about a scary moment that happened just because it got reported on. But that it doesn't really give much away.
No, well, let's
okay.
We'll experience it.
We'll know when it comes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get rolling here.
All right.
Most importantly, violence.
Lucha Underground Season 3, Episode 21. In the recap, we start with Puma training. Then we see Drago and Cobra Moon and their story, and the reminder of last week's episode that went all night long. We go into the opening segment backstage, and Puma is staring in the mirror, very Vampiro-like. I thought this was good storytelling, in that he's fighting the same sort of demons. He might need to start dropping a little bit of that etripipersol. And he's looking in the mirror, kind of shaking, and just before he's about to smash the mirror, Rey stops him. Rey Mysterio enters and tells him, he's not your friend. He's not your master. Mm-hmm. And Puma kind of says, neither are you, and walks away. And then Ray sees scary Vampiro in the in the reflection. And finally, Ray breaks the mirror. So that was a good touch, I thought.
Travis, you're an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Would you think it would be... Do you think that Rey Mysterio and Prince Puma, Ricochet, do you think the masks are good for them in these scenes? Does it help maybe hide some of the... Hide a little bit of their
if they're not able to hit those notes
or do you think it hinders them?
I don't think I thought this was a good scene. Yeah. I thought it was fine. I don't know. We don't really usually get to see much of them kind of doing heavy lifting.
That's true. Have you ever had to
act under a mask? Well, I was Fudgy the Whale for a while. If you want to come.
Oh, now this is an important note, I think, for people to know. Fans of the show should know this. What Fudgy the Whale was from the
Carvel ice cream in the east.
Where is that
located? It's mostly located on the East Coast. Our American friends will know it.
Well, we'll probably have some listeners who are surrounded by
this. We probably have Mr. Carvel is a dedicated listener. No. Yeah, I did about a dozen ads as Fudgy the Whale under a whale costume, and that is my voice. You can look it up. My favorite one of the bunch was probably the birthday one. Look it up, guys. Fudgy the Whale birthday. That's me. That's me.
Anyways, so did you find that to be a challenge?
Those roles were written for a guy in a mascot outfit, right? And therein lies the comedy. Mm-hmm. So, they're not asking me to talk about my, conflicted, mental state.
Good point.
Well, that would be interesting. That would be a challenge. Yes, that I can say yes unequivocally. It would have been a challenge in the Fudgy the Whale costume to hit those heavy notes.
You know, I have a Lucha Libre mask.
Yes,
we could get you to do like a little soliloquy.
You'd have to give me some time to prep.
That's fair. Actually, to be fair, I got it as a gift, but it's like for more of a child's head.
Yeah, well, so we'll try it.
Doesn't really fit.
I could use it. That's what they teach it. Directors teach it. Use it.
That's right. All right, cool.
So we enter inside the temple, and we got a new band, Sergio Arrua. That is great stuff.
Now, did we see him from previous?
That's what you were asking. I don't know. I don't remember.
I seem to recognize him, but maybe just from being around. I don't know.
But this is the kind of stuff I would love. Like, because I always imagine, like, you've been waiting in line forever in the Los Angeles heat to get in. I hope it's air conditioned in there. I'd like to believe it is.
Oh, you know what? I hope it's not.
I guess not, but it'd be nice to like, man, we got these tickets. You sit down, you probably enjoyed some of the California delicacies, and you're just sitting down, and then that kind of music hits. They're like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
If it's something else, like the rap metal of the Chimps or something like that, then it might not put you in such a good headspace.
Yeah, totally, totally. Oh, the Chimps. I had forgotten about the Chimps. Chimps with a Z.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's somebody's favorite band is the Chimps.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. But yeah, it was great. Sergio Arrua and the Somebodies. I don't know. It said something on the drum kit. We'll see you again. We'll see you in the next four episodes.
Yeah, no kidding.
So this brings us to our first match, taken right from where we left off. The Mac versus Johnny Mundo. Just before that's about to start, Dario Cueto enters, and he makes it a false count anywhere. Here's where I noticed, I don't know if I've ever said it before, I love how tensed up Dario Cueto gets. He just basically starts to vibrate.
Yeah, when no kidding. It's like every muscle in his body is clenched.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah, the best.
Oh, man.
The best.
Yeah, this episode was like a Dario heavy
showcase. You know? Our old friend, Crystal Fisher, got retweeted by Lucha Underground just talking about how he's the best authority figure in wrestling, and it's not even close.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, who else is there even? He's light years away. Yeah. My God.
Here's the head. Yeah. So he comes in, he makes it a false count anywhere. Great action early from the Mac. And right away, I'm noticing these two are just so comfortable with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Taken right from where they left off.
Now, when Dario comes out, he says, Mac, this is going to benefit you.
Yeah.
I didn't quite catch the logic of that.
Well, they kind of explain later, like, Mac's already had two false count anyway matches. Vamp kind of played up the slightly racist tone that this guy's from the streets.
Yeah.
Anyways, Matt catches Johnny Mundo with that ugly stunner off the middle rope after they had some really good memory. Stunner kind of landed in his stomach.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. That was fine. Honestly, like, unless it, the whole thing happened so fast, it wasn't like an obvious like botch or anything like that. In some ways, I could even convince myself that it hurt him even worse.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. But he rolls outside and he just starts bringing out chairs. Max starts bringing out chairs.
This was the best part of the whole episode. Yeah. Anything on the outside here, right after those chairs, it totally felt like there was a bought into the Max emotions in this episode, as well as Johnny Mundo's. I mean, my God, they were both just like putting on like
a clinic. Acting clinic.
Yeah. You could sense both of their emotions so... It was so prominent, like the amount of fear in Johnny Mundo's face at the time, the amount of anger and like aggression, just like the little things, like when Mac had the chair and he like smashed the railing with it.
Yes,
it just felt so real, man. Yeah. It felt like something like episodes. Like sometimes you and Kelly, you watch these like super older wrestling stuff. Like territory, you know, style stuff. And it felt at times like it was something out of there.
I see what you're saying.
Like that, those NWA, like in a cage type matches or,
it's just not as polished as like the average.
Yeah.
Like,
but the emotion was so raw.
Yeah. Yep.
God, what did we watch that was in the empty stadium?
Empty arena match between Lawler and Terry Funk.
Oh,
one of the best matches of all time.
God. Yes. Yeah. There was glimmers of that.
I see what you're saying. For sure.
Of that in this. For sure. If anybody hasn't seen that match, that empty stadium match.
See. I must see.
Terry Funk should have won an Emmy. I would still... They should be giving away retroactive Emmys because Terry Funk was amazing in that.
This is before they brought out the chairs. He cleared... he got people out of their seats and did that front flip into the seats. That was so great.
Those wooden chairs scare me.
I know.
Because they shatter and it just feels like somebody's going to get stuck in the stomach with a huge chunk
impaled,
of something. Yeah. Just somebody's going to... good.
Yeah.
I don't think they're gimmick chairs.
It doesn't look like it.
No.
That's what I said. They're just taken from right where they left off. This is when Mac brought out all the chairs. Like this made sense. I'm starting to understand why they stopped where they did.
Yeah.
I guess you could have said they could have stopped with All Night Long, but that would have left us and you're hanging for the whole thing with the draw, right? Or with the tie at three, and then we would have had to wait 4 months. But no, this makes sense. Go with the hard thing and then follow it up right away.
I see what you're saying. This makes sense why they left like the series at this episode.
Number 19,
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
And he had a great chair-assisted body slam. The crowd is really hot again.
Yeah, kidding, man. They were chanting right from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good.
They chase him into the crowd, and then Ricky Mandel enters, and off of his interference, Johnny Mundo hit that crazy high spot out of the crowd. Yeah, another one of the three corkscrews we saw today.
So good,
three or four, I think. I think Ricky Mandel, I'll say right now, really playing his role well. This kind of fanboy who doesn't fit in, and he's like asking him, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?"
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he say go get a chainsaw? It sounded like he said go get a chainsaw. But he just came back with a garbage can. But Sexy Star enters to help and chases Ricky Mandel off, so that makes sense. This is following up from what we saw last. Like everything is, there's a good sense of logic through this. Mac power bombed onto trash can for a near fall. Mac tries to pull out a table, but PJ Black is still holding it under the ring. So and comes out with a kendo stick to Mac's face.
Dude, that hit, that kendo stick to Mac's face was brutal.
Yes, there's a lot of brutality, brutal this week.
No, my God.
Most importantly, violence.
Yep. So PJ Black sets up the table and Max stuns PJ Black, who does a great sell, just kind of pratfall into the table.
Yeah,
this is great stuff.
Totally.
And the guys are just not holding back, man. So
this was a dangerous match to perform, you know, and it's not, it's funny 'cause you don't, you certainly don't expect to see something like this in like in WWE. And even if you're watching like you know, like a big indie show, or you're watching like New Japan or something like that, mm-hmm. maybe you could expect something of this level, but it would be like have been built to, mm-hmm. you know, it was sort of shocking to have it just happen on like a weekly episode of this program.
And as the curtain jerk, like your opening match. Yeah.
I know. I do feel like it was important to put it in the front because it didn't have the set time limit.
Yeah.
But it did kind of feel like the...
Yeah, there were some problems with that. The fact that they're bringing out tables in this match, and then when you see tables again in the last match.
Yeah, and this was definitely the most important match of the episode, and the crowd was on fire for it. Everybody wanted Mac to win, mm-hmm. you know. It was this... If things could be different, this would be your headliner, right? Yeah. But it is what it is. I understand why they put it first. Made sense.
Hey, it is what it is.
Halfway through this, I actually began to think, like, maybe this is going to go the whole episode.
Mm.
Like, it was going in that way with, like, so many false finishes and stuff. And I was like, man, maybe they're really going to go
that
for
would be
it.
Nuts. But two back-to-back Iron Man matches. Crazy.
I wouldn't put it past those two,
I know.
Man.
Like I said, these guys are so comfortable with each other. Yeah. I could have watched a lot more of this.
Mm-hmm.
So Mac gets his knees up off of the end of the world, and then a strong power bomb for a near fall.
That was huge.
Yeah. The pile of chairs remain, though. So this is just like mm-hmm. the gun that you show in the first act, right? It looks really scary as Mac attempts to suplex Mundo to the outside. But there's a couple of counters back and forth, and just as he's about to do it again, enter Taya, who we haven't seen for a while. You were asking where she was.
That's true.
And saves Johnny Mundo, and then we see a crazy sunset flip powerbomb to the outside onto the chairs.
Yeah.
For the win.
It looked so painful.
It just looked deadly.
So painful. Just like so many probably like little bits of metal just like pinching.
Whatever. Just awful. Every little thing.
Just horrible.
So, yeah, a quick match, but I still went 3.25. Action-packed, and like I said, really good logic throughout. It made sense mm-hmm. from where we had left off. These guys work really well together. Yeah, really fun to watch.
Yeah, I loved it. I would go a little bit higher just because it felt like the stakes were there. The crowd's a factor. They were totally into it. Mm-hmm. That's as hot as the crowd gets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I might go a little higher, but that's cool. That's cool. I won't throw it back in your
besmirch.
Face.
You won't besmirch my...
That's
my,
right. Yeah. This is C. Gorgeous!
And here we go. Here we come up with Dario's best in-ring promo maybe ever. And this is a guy who's, like, he's got a couple good ones. But we hear a couple great lines. Like, he is fired up, just really kind of talking about how great he is. And he introduces... Mm-hmm. The Cueto Cup.
Yeah. Single elimination tournament. 32
wrestlers.
Luchadors. We're not going to count 32, but yes or no. Are there 32 active wrestlers right now? And don't forget, we can't count Johnny Mundo or Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. They've been taken out of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So there would need to be 34 wrestlers in Lucha Underground? Is there that many?
There must be, especially when you get down to, I bet you Vinny Massaro is going to be in a match. Things like this, right?
Hmm.
You know, you got all these tribes, all the backup guys.
I guess that's true. Yeah, like Rabbit Tribe, that's three. Yeah, yeah, four. I mean, that's that. Yeah, I can see that.
Plus all the ladies, right?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Well, it just sounds like everybody's going to be on board. Everybody gets a shot.
No, I wonder if we'll get some Black Lotus tribe in there.
That'd be awesome.
We haven't had a trios tournament this season, have we?
No.
I wonder if we will.
I wonder myself.
Hmm.
A really good moment where Dario kind of shuns Melissa. Go. Get out. There's only room for one beautiful thing in this ring.
I love that.
Yeah. Go. Awesome stuff. So we learned that the finals would be at Ultima Lucha 3. He kind of buries his brother here. I thought that was a nice touch, kind of talking about how, like, when he showed how much of a coward he was to me and my family and our family.
We haven't seen him since Matanza went through the stands.
That's right.
God, that was a good moment too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we learned, so the final, so is this Ultima Lucha 3 will be Rey versus Johnny Mundo? Or is that going to happen earlier?
That's going to happen earlier. Okay. So at the same night that the finals of the tournament take place.
Which is Ultima Lucha Trace.
No.
No, he said the finals are at Ultima Lucha Trace. He said that.
Really? Are you sure? No.
I was a little confused by this. Even the second time watching it, I think.
Okay. Whoever wins the tournament will get a title shot Ultima Legends.
I see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So whenever they come to the end of this tournament, at the same time, they're going to have that Rey Mysterio, Johnny Mundo match.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. All makes sense. Should we go to our next match or should we take a quick break? We're kind of whipping through this.
We can do one more.
I mean, there's only the one more match after this. Whatever, let's do it. Next match. Trios Championship. Drago, Aerostar, Phoenix versus Pindar Vibara. Am I saying it right?
I think so.
And Cobra Moon.
Mm. I had forgotten that Vibara and Pindar even existed until they were on screen. I was like, oh, yeah.
Pindar looks so funny to me.
Pindar. Oh, yeah.
He just... Like I said before, he looks like a bad Super Mario Bros., but he is constantly adjusting his mask way more than any other of these like wrestlers who have to wear these plastic
things. Well, I don't think he's... I think he's an American guy.
Yes.
He probably is not wrestling under a mask very often. Mm-hmm. So he's got that sort of...
And it's not the average, like, it's not a Lucha Libre thing that you tie in the back, right?
Yeah.
Aerostar rules. Like, his just two beautiful corkscrews in like, 20 seconds.
Yeah, I had forgotten just, like, how much time... You know, Aerostar's such an interesting performer.
Mm-hmm.
Because he spends so much time bouncing off the ropes and just, like, finding ways to be thrown on top of the ropes or to be... He just springboards everywhere.
Yeah, he was doing... And just trying new stuff that we hadn't seen from him before.
Mm.
And it all worked. I thought when Phoenix did... He just had a very small part in this.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of flash that didn't really... It didn't really make as much sense as Aerostar's kind of extra stuff.
Like when he jumped into the tombstone... Like the pile driver,
mm-hmm. He did an extra somersault for no reason.
Bet you it was probably because he knew that he didn't have a lot of time, so he was probably just trying to make the most of it.
Sure,
but I noticed that too, where it was just sort of like he didn't. Yeah, what he was doing wasn't as logical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they didn't need. I guess I know why they did it, because they were all building towards that Aerostar. The Drago heel turn.
The Drago heel turn. Crazy.
And this is weird because didn't he already? Do this once?
No, they were not sure, right? They were kind of like, we cool. It was kind of like one of those things at the end of a match.
See, this is one of the stories that we lost a little momentum.
Oh, yeah, big time.
You know, and actually, I'd say the same thing for the Puma Mill one. I was like, I thought this was over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think even last episode, we talked about how we thought Mill was dead.
Yes.
I guess not.
No.
I don't know. You know,
I think Vibara's look is just crazy as well. Like, I mean, Pindar's is funny. Vibara's is just like creepy.
He's got the long hair and stuff.
And it's just like his build is nutters and all those tattoos. Yeah.
He's so tall. He's got zero body fat, but he's not like a giant. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that like Big Show or Andre the Giant physique.
But he still does a lot of those kind of
moves because of his height. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. But
that mask isn't falling off. Like that thing, that looks like it's like glued to.
It looks like it's his face. Maybe it is his face. Peace.
But he's good.
I think he's good. I think he's. They wrestle around him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think did we find out who this guy was?
Steve Payne, or is that Pindar? One of them is Steve Payne.
I think that's Pindar.
Yeah, I'd have to double check.
Mm-hmm. But I think Vibara was trained at the Performance Center.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he didn't ever make TV or anything.
Hmm.
So I just don't know how much training he would have had before
Is that Chris Hero?
Wait. I don't think so.
Way too slim. Crazy spot with Aerostar and Pindar off the top. Remember, he got up on his.
That was the one move. I was like, you can. I don't mind. Like, we saw in that PWG match, if anybody's listening to this the
Phoenix and
Pentagon. And
Pentagon versus Hero and Tommy End.
And Tommy End, right.
Yeah.
They do a similar thing where the Phoenix goes up on Pentagon's shoulders.
Yeah.
And that makes sense because they're working in tandem.
Yeah.
But this doesn't make a lot of sense.
I agree.
Because because logically Pindar has to hold him.
Yes, yes.
And prop him up.
So, what are you doing? What are you doing up there?
So why would you do that? It doesn't make sense, right?
It's still, it's just like, as he was going up there, I'm like, what's going to happen here? And it just kind of turned into a... okay.
Hurricane Rana.
Okay, Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, yeah. That's why, yeah, it just didn't...
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, this match was just... This match was there to... move plot, as we saw. Mm-hmm. But it still had a couple shining moments, especially Aerostar was a standout.
No doubt. I think he had, like, but plus or minus, do you think he had more or less than 5 springboard moves?
I think you're right on the button.
I always do that with plus minus. Yeah, yeah, dude. I always have to do a half and always forget.
Yeah.
I always do that.
Yeah.
I think it is 5.
So Aerostar goes for the tag from Drago, and green mist in the face. Has Drago ever spat green mist?
Yes, dude.
It's been a while, right?
He did in... Oh, maybe... Has he?
Was it... Here's what I... Like, has it always been green mist?
Hmm. That's interesting. It could have... There could have been... Because you know that he doesn't always... What was he wearing in this episode?
Just the usual. Just...
The usual. Like the usual, the black?
Thing he always wears.
Or the blue?
Well, yeah.
Or was it the red?
That's all I've ever...
Oh, no. Because he's worn a lot. Yeah, if you think back, if you think way back to episode 1, he wore blue gear. Yeah. Like a sky blue.
Okay.
And then he wore red, but only for one match. In fact, I'd like to see him wear the red
scary.
Again.
That's scary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A red dragon.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he got banished. And then he came back and he was wearing all black.
Huh. Is that a result of the banishment, do you think?
One would think.
Mm-hmm.
One would think. It's sort of like he was on fire with the red.
Right.
And then he came back like charred.
Like ash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. And then...
So just the 3. Okay.
You know, there's a... He's also wore a sort of like a white number.
Oh, that was beautiful.
That's right. And there's some chatter online that he may have made a... He may have come out in sort of like a blue-white combo number, but it could have been the lighting.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Okay.
It's hard to say.
All right. So not just the black.
Not just the black.
Hmm. And it's been a while. It's been a while since I watched, so.
It's true.
But now that you say that.
Mm-hmm. Now, as for the mist, I don't know.
Okay.
And actually, to be totally, just putting all that nonsense aside, I actually am having a moment of self-doubt. Did he ever
I don't think he's
before?
Ever blown mist.
Has somebody blown mist in this show?
Seems like it'd be a mist-heavy show type of show, right?
Totally. Everybody's shooting mist. I love mist, man.
Me too.
More people should be shooting mist.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, great Muda.
They should always have one person favorite. On the roster who does a mist gag.
Yes.
At least one.
Yes.
At least one.
One mist per up. Mm-hmm. So Drago crosses sides. This got a little confusing. This was kind of a mess. But I mean, whatever. He made the pin. This is moving plot. Finally, we've Drago's fully turned.
Yeah.
Cobra Moon snaps on the collar. Again. Which do we count? Did we say? Is that a new outfit?
New gear? That would be an accessory.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just the black.
Now here's a question: would you package that accessory with the Cobra Moon action figure or with the Drago action figure?
I think it comes in the Cobra Moon throne room set.
Play set.
And that's where you get that, you get either her or that limited edition Drago.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Where he's a little weaker, like, or just has a different look on his face. Like he's more...
Different gear maybe.
Like, yeah. Why would he
We're not doing it a second time.
Let's hear some words from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Emotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA On Demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, the Super Apoitas podcast, the Military-Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network.
Wither Joey Ryan. What's going to happen with him? Because last we had heard, Vasquez knows he's dirty.
Yeah.
Is he still going to work for her?
I don't know. I am curious to see that story progress. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of loose ends with the cops. Mm-hmm.
I just remember Veneno / Cortez getting the
by Sexy Star.
Just bad luck again.
That was the best. That's the best. That's the funniest moment. Definitely in Lucha Underground.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah.
It's just so tragic.
Just why of all the masks you could have picked, a spider mask. That's a
poor guy, man.
Poor guy.
Ricky Reyes. What an interesting guy. You know, Ricky Reyes seems like the type of guy we could interview.
I agree. Let's get the word out.
I think we just have to tweet him.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I thought it'd like require petitions.
Like this. No. You know what the hardest part is actually figuring out how to record that's the tricky one.
Just Skype recorder. Mm. Anywho, next segment backstage. We got Ricky Martel as what's his name called? Because he couldn't know him. That was a nice touch. Didn't know who he was.
Yeah. Do you think that was a shoot, or do you think that was?
I think that was part of the deal. Like okay. They're selling this character. This guy's not. He's kind of a wrestler.
Yeah.
Right. Ricky Mandel and Johnny Mundo. Johnny Mundo comes out in a towel. Say, where's the champagne? So we'd be celebrating. And as I said, Ricky Mundo plays a great fanboy. He was really good through all of this.
Yeah.
And Taya comes in and gives Mundo the news about the match. Mm-hmm. And he sends Ricky away to go fire up the car. And I really like Mundo showing vulnerability here with Taya and not wanting to show it in front of the thing. It's like, if I can't take, how am I supposed to take him to Slamtown?
Love it.
It was good, man. Yeah. It was, Mundo is...
He's killing it.
Yeah.
No,
he's so committed, man. Like, so many of these of these performers are just. Yeah. I see a different level of commitment to their characters. I mean, not top to bottom, not better than anywhere, but I mean, just on average, everybody is.
I mean, I would like. I mean, they've given a lot of. I guess I know what you're saying. I was going to say, I can't think of a better place, but if you're talking about commitment to character, maybe not quality of character, mm-hmm. I think like you could probably have. There's comparable commitment in WWE for sure.
But you don't see it from everybody. Like, no. Everybody's bought. Like, that's what we've said about this before is like, everyone is bought into this concept and like, this is your role, this mm-hmm. is your part. And you know, and so that kind of eliminates the idea of somebody trying to go into business for themselves or trying to get themselves over. No?
What happened to Dark Claw?
Excellent point.
He was here and then he left.
Did we ever learn this guy's name?
I don't know.
Or who this wrestler was or who he is?
No, I don't even know if it was Dark Claw. It might have been Night Claw.
Nightclaw was the amalgam between Batman and Wolverine, right?
I think that was Dark Claw.
One or the other.
I don't know.
So that leads us to our main event. Boyle Heights Street Fight between two of our favorites, Mil Muertes mm-hmm. and Prince Puma. Katrina looking beautiful as always. That's something, again, you forget about these little things.
It's
right?
True. Like,
good
it's
God.
True. The Striker's little speech as Mil's coming out, but like when they talk about the annals of history of Lucha Underground, they're going to talk about two names, Mil Muertes and Prince Puma. And I was just like sitting there, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I think both of them were great tonight. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it has to do with this happens sometimes, like back in the day when Michael Cole used to be painful, but then all of a sudden a really good match would show up and you don't have a chance to be painful. You don't have somebody as much in your ear. Yeah. Like you just have to follow it and just go with it. So you aren't having to riff, into bad metaphors or whatever the hell they do.
Yeah.
So especially that first match and this last match. Puma enters from the back to sneak up on Mil Muertes. So mm-hmm. already he's like kind of being a little more playing up this kind of heel aspect.
I also want to say that I miss Puma's like furry gauntlets. Yes.
Oh yeah,
you know he's not wearing those right now. He's just wearing
he don't ain't got time for that crap no more, man.
I guess
I like that he was wearing the slacks too, and I like that Vampiro, or it was Matt Stryker who mentioned it, like because that's the kind of classic street fight garb.
Yeah, Texas Death Match.
Yeah,
have you ever seen one of those?
Yeah.
From like NWA stuff?
Yeah.
Using countless.
No, a lot of them.
Are they good?
Yes. Well, they're always just like bloody. Some are better than others.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like I told you last week, I saw a Greek death match, remember?
Oh, God, yeah. Greek death
match. And again, like I said, here's two guys who work so well together. I've said it before, but I could watch these guys work together 100 times, and they would always have different kinds of matches. Puma shines early like only he can. Puma grabs a table, and this is what I'm talking about. You should only have one table match per episode.
Yeah.
I understand what they had to do and what they had to do with storytelling, so they're kind of painting themselves into a corner. But it makes it feel a little less, oh, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
However, when Puma sets it up in the corner, he gets that, what do they call it? The Reaper's Trident from Mil.
Oh, into the table, into Dario's
and then office. Drops half of the table, like smashes him with half of the table a couple times. Just brutal.
Ricochet is so good.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
He is, I'd be hard pressed to not put him in like top three wrestlers in mm-hmm. the world mm-hmm. now, like
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a magical time. It's a magical time.
Yes. So they brawl in the crowd. It's great stuff. And they start bringing out road signs.
Stryker's comment about the road signs.
Yes. That was pretty funny. Yeah. That was good. Even when they do have a little ref, like at work today.
Yeah.
So thumbs up to the announcing team tonight. Hits at 450 to the outside, which was kind of nuts. Puma did. I remember that. And this is where Matt Stryker mentioned Puma being in the street in his skivvies. Ton of heat. Mil Muertes. it's something to Puma's head. I don't know. They go into the crowd. Puma uses a shoe, and then they get tossed into a water heater. I love how much, like, there's things that you see here that you don't see anywhere else. Like, in terms of just the surroundings. Yeah. I bet you that is the working water heater. That's what
it is.
It's not a prop. Then Mil Muertes carries Puma downstairs. They bring out another garbage can, and there's a just really vicious kind of curb stomp from Puma onto the...
Yeah. There was some darkness there.
Yeah.
A lot of Puma's like attitude in this was darker, but you didn't really sense a lot of it in the moves, but except for that curb stomp felt like a real... dirty, like, violent...
Well, and thing. The finish.
Well, yeah, talk of course, about and the Puma. Finish.
And they go into Dario's office. This is a weird camera angles we've seen from inside during a match of Dario's office.
It's always so jarring when we go in there during the match because we're used to seeing it with, like, the different, like,
lighting and
frame
like
rate and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He tells him to get out. He says, "I've got
this." We just got to stop. We got to take a little detour here about Dario's office and the way they shoot it. So, in my mind, whenever we have a little vignette in Dario's office, in my mind, it's always located like upstairs, down a hallway in the temple. You know, I never put it.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, but then when I see it there, it sort of forces me to reorientate the temple in my mind in some way.
Where are these hallways?
Yeah. What is this place? So I'm going to propose this to you.
Okay.
Next time they have a fight that spills into the office, cut it and then shoot it later.
Love it.
Like, go back to the other frame, right? Have it there.
I mean, they had kind of tried that with, remember, Cage? He walked in there, and he was still kind of, you could tell. And then they had to walk out, and she's like, well, your match is now, my friend.
Yeah.
And you hear Melissa's voice through the thing. That was a nice touch. Yeah. So they can find ways to do more of that.
Totally. You can still have the match. Like, you don't have to stop the match. Have the match go in there, have Dario come out or whatever. Yep. But just film the extra stuff.
Sure. Sounds good to me.
That one's for free.
That's how you do your job.
So he tells him, and he holds up the bull to make Mil Muertes leave. Like, this is
Like, do you think that was really a thing?
Maybe. I have an idea based on what happens shortly after this. But first of all, we see Puma use a wrench, which is kind of nuts. But then Mil Muertes ends up getting face to face with Vampiro. I'm going to say right now, I think this might end up being your Vampiro's Ultima Lucha Trace
match. Thinking the same thing. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I think that'd be great. Sense.
Yeah, I think so too. Back in the ring, there's trash all over. Someone had mentioned this online. There's a nice touch that they actually have garbage in the trash cans.
Totally. Why not?
Puma uses a trash can lid.
And the trash can isn't under the ring.
Yes.
Although I guess there are stop signs and detour signs underneath there. Yes. That's one thing that always bothers me. Like, why are there kendo sticks under the ring? Why are there?
You never know. You never know.
They should. They should have a match, being like, "This is a kendo match. Yes. We're gonna bring people out and make them fight with sticks."
They had a kendo stick match recently in the WWE, but less said about that.
Oh, really?
The better is with Bayley and Alexa Bliss.
Oh, yeah. Really? And they both came out with kendo sticks.
No, it was hanging from I told you, less said about it, the better.
Okay.
I don't want to. We talked about this having good logic. That did not have logic. And we see that crazy Van Terminator with a flip from Puma. I have never seen that before. Mm-hmm. When he jumped from one side into the garbage.
The coast to coast.
Yeah.
With the flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? That's probably something that Puma doesn't even really need to stress to do.
No.
Because it's just, he gets so much height on his jumps. His legs are so strong.
Yep.
And he's probably like, I could do that.
No problem.
Yeah, totally.
Nuts.
It looked like when it hit, he had like probably a good half foot that he
still spare. Could have kept going. Yeah. And so he hits that 630 at a great camera angle, and it looks like it landed hard. You talk about the guys early on not holding back. These guys are really beating the shit out of each other, too. Katrina enters and hits Puma with a rock. And then Vampiro Vampiro gives Puma a brick. And he smashes it over Mil Muertes' skull.
Dark arts, my friend.
Yep, for the win. I went 3.5 on this.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You liked it better than the yes. Johnny Mundo?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hmm. Just because of more skill on display, even though there's not...
Travis.
In terms of Puma.
Okay. And also, are you just going to give an extra half a star to every Puma match just because he's in the ring?
It's possible.
I wouldn't
play him. He is special.
But it doesn't. There was no stakes. So it wasn't for anything.
I see your point. But
I'm not going to... I don't,
but I don't know. I just think it went a little... went a little further with things.
Okay.
The brawling was out of control. Yeah. High emotion. Sure. I think the emotion here was just as high in those matches, if not maybe at times a little higher.
Mm-hmm. That was a stunt brick, right?
No.
Yeah, it was some kind of stunt brick.
I believe so.
That's fair.
Another solid, like I said, bang, bang, bang. Really good match. First two back, we are on a roll here. And we are about to find out what we have coming up next week. Right, Max?
Yes. I've forgotten that we do this. I'm just looking right now. So we're going to be... Next week is episode 22, and it's The Cup Begins. Mm. So we'll have The Cup. We'll start off. The Cueto Cup begins. Johnny Mundo and Rey Mysterio start their training. So we'll get some training sequences. That could be cool. And
I like that. That's good if they start building towards in that manner kind of thing. That's all they're doing.
Yeah, they're just training for their home match the whole time. Yeah. Great. Here's an interesting tidbit. Mm. What's coming up? Cage visits with Councilman Delgado.
Nice.
Oh yeah. I wonder if Cage just like destined to win this thing?
Destined to win the cup?
I mean,
maybe he's got that. He's got
the gauntlet.
He's got the power of the gods.
Who else can really stand up against him? Matanza. Mil Muertes.
Oh, you got Rey. You got...
Well, Rey's not in it.
Well, he could be. Well, he could be the... Okay, won't win the cup. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Puma.
Is Puma, in the cup. Yeah, always. Always. You got Veneno.
Veneno will definitely be in this. Joey Ryan will too, for sure.
Is Pentagon gonna get his shine back here?
He must get in there as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe
he's got to be a contender again. He's got to be somebody up there.
I wonder if we're gonna see the triad.
I hope so.
I wouldn't be, you know what, I wouldn't even be surprised if we just don't. Mm-hmm. That they had that one moment and that was it.
It was a good moment.
It was.
It was Kerry Hojo that we couldn't remember last week. We got it.
Alrighty. Anything else you want to talk about?
Not much. Sorry about the lateness in last week's episode. Hopefully we can get this one up a little quicker. Beyond that, follow us on Twitter at @Lucha_Aftergrund. Just look up Lucha Afterground on Twitter. Follow us on iTunes. Subscribe. Give us 5-star reviews. Tell your friends. Max, anything else from you?
Nope. That's it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See you later. We'll be here next week.
Oh, of course. I forget we do that.
What the hell is the matter with you?
Well, it's been a while.
I know.
All right. Well, we'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?